So I'm going to hand over to our first speaker on the programme. So delighted that we've got Dr. Sam Roberts with us. And Sam is fairly new in post, has been Director of Innovation and Life Sciences at NHS England. She's made such a difference. I was saying to her, have you been in post for 6 months? She's actually been in post for 3 months. But since she's come into NHS England to work in innovation, she's already started making a massive difference in promoting national innovations that we really need locally so we can sort of pull them into the system and work with them. So Sam, without further ado, I'll hand over to you. And remember, if you're on Slido, ask Sam speaking and you think of any questions, please do enter them into Slido. Thank you.
Right, hi, thanks so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. Original title for this talk was slightly ambitious, and it reflects the fact that Liz asked me to speak 2 weeks after I'd started. And I'm a clinician by background and a researcher, so I thought, right, you know, I'm not up to date on innovation theory, but what I'm going to do in the next 3 months between now and the talk is I'm going to read all the reports, King's Fund, Nuffield Trust, blah, blah. I'm going to go back to the academic literature, see what people say about spread of innovation, and I'm going to come to you with you with my... This is what I think is going to make a difference. Does that sound right to you as practitioners? So that was the grand plan. As I'm sure all of you who work in innovation know, the more you read all this, the less you know. Because it's not like medicine, where the mechanism of action is entirely clear in certain diseases. It's not like my area of research, health economics, where one can make one kind of parameter value lead to another kind of output depending on the structure of the equation. This is a complicated area where some things work for some interventions in some contexts. So as the time for this talk got closer and closer, I got more and more anxious about what am I going to say? And so I slightly changed the title to reflect more kind of, I think, the mindset of both myself and our unit, which is that we don't really know what makes a difference with adoption of innovation, but that's kind of an exciting and vibrant place to be. And it kind of reflects how we'd like to work with you on this, which is that there is no clear single mechanism of action. Different things work for different people in different contexts for different products. And so I thought I'd instead talk to you a little bit about who we are, what we cover, the kind of work that we do, and then some of the ways that we'd like to work with you. And then get your feedback on, does that sound about right? No, we've missed the points. Rubbish. Actually, these are the 5 things that would make a difference nationally. Go off and kind of think about doing them. So that's what we're going to cover. Let me see if I can work this slide. Yeah, so 4 quick things to talk about: who we are, what we do in our unit, some of the work that's underway nationally, and then how we hope to work with you and our other partners. So who we are, sorry for the guys at the back, these slides must be hard to see, but I'm sure they can be circulated. So who we are, our unit covers life sciences, research and innovation, which is a nice and kind of mutually reinforcing little grouping. And we're going to talk mainly about the innovation group today. And what we do is we commission, on the innovation group side, we commission a number of national programs. So starting at the top, kind of some would say, many would say the jewel in the crown is the AHSN network. We're taking a paper to the NHS England board to consider the relicensing of the AHSNs for another 5 years, so exciting times. And obviously, as you guys know, they work across the full gamut of innovation. We support SBRI, which is the earlier stage, NHS Innovation Accelerator, which Liz has already talked about. Our digital colleagues look at the apps library. We fund the innovation and technology payment, which is where NHS England makes a group of innovations free to purchase for 1 to 2 years, and test beds and clinical entrepreneurs. So a wide variety of programs across kind of all elements of the spectrum. So the work that's underway nationally, because we do acknowledge that, you know, a group of programs does not an innovation strategy make necessarily. And so I think there's lots of exciting and kind of thoughtful conversations happening nationally. And partially that's come out of the life sciences industrial strategy, partially that's come out of NHS England's 12 actions for research. But the one thing that, when I've talked about this before in other fora, the one thing people always ask me is, well, aren't you just doing, re-asking the same questions that we already know? So I put this slide up to say, no, we're not. Obviously, the starting point is all the literature that's gone before, but particularly the recent publications from the Nuffield Trust, King's Fund and others, and the Health Foundation on, you know, what are some of the things that help support innovation and what are some of the things that hinder. So the rest of my talk, I thought I'd talk a little bit more about kind of taking that starting point of recent publications, existing programs, what's the work that's underway both nationally and within our unit to start to say, how can we be as helpful as possible to innovators, both at the start of the journey and at the kind of adoption and spread part. So starting on the left-hand side, as I said, Lord O'Shaughnessy is leading a review of the innovation landscape, and that's working with ourselves, Department of Health and Social Care, and Office of Life Sciences. It's got three big parts to it, or kind of areas that are being considered. And we'll talk those through in a little bit of detail. So the first one is creating strategic alignments. I mean, I know you can't read that the slide, and that's kind of the point, which is that we've just talked about the six programs that we provide, but we know we're six of at least 38 nationally. You know, who knows how many hundreds that are provided regionally or locally. And so we hear a lot that this is kind of a confusing landscape. Can we be a bit clearer about how we link with one another? Can we be a bit more consistent about what our entry and exit criteria are for different programs? How you can flow from one program to another, not necessarily funded by the same organization, but, you know, how do we in NHS England kind of help folks maybe to move on to Innovate UK programs or vice versa? So that's what that piece of work is about. And trying to take it from the customer perspective, you know, if you're an innovator with a diagnostic, what are the kind of programs that are relevant to you? Where should you be flowing through at different steps of the process? If you're somebody with a digital, where are you? So we're kind of trying to take this very detailed picture and say, well, what would kind of be the pathway that you would think of following? So that's what the strategic alignment bit is on. Then there's another bit on supporting behaviors that encourage innovation. This, I think, is the trickiest part. And for the first kind of 2 months of my job, I kept on asking people, well, what are the five things? What are the five things that we could do that would make a difference? You know, is it financial incentives? Is it including this in the medical curriculum? Is it more consistent monitoring of research and innovation at the board level? Like, what are the five? And tell me if I'm wrong during question time, but kind of the feedback that I've been getting is, you're not getting the five because there aren't five. There are hundreds of things that you need to do to change behavior. And they need to kind of fall into these quadrants. You know, we need to be clear, the top left-hand quadrant, what are we asking people to do? And does it make sense in their day job? And that sense-making and what you're asking is completely different at a different level. It's different if you're a clinician in the ward. It's different if you're a general manager. It's different if you're a head of an HSN. So we're kind of thinking through for each thing that we ask of the system, like, is it clear what we're asking? Does it make sense at the different levels? Top right, you know, people don't change their behaviors unless they see colleagues and leaders behaving differently. What is it that you need to see from us? What kind of role models are we being kind of nationally to support this? Bottom left, resources and skills. You know, one needs to have both the capacity and skills to do this. This is a big thing that came out of King's Fund and other reports, is whose job is this? spreading innovation? How are we kind of enabled, skilled, provided space to do that? And then bottom right is, and this I think is where we in government often focus, which is why I put it last, is what are the systems and processes? So, you know, is it about financial incentives? Is it things like a sequin? Is it best practice tariffs? Is it integrated payments across the pathway? Is it integrating more with things like get it right first time, right care, trusts and commissioners of performance managed, that kind of thing. So this work has only really started in the last 6 weeks or so. So we're more at the question than answer stage. But I think we're keen to look at the full gamut of what are the 50, 100, 150 things that actually would make a difference. And then the third bit is how can we be more helpful to suppliers? So that's got a couple of parts to it. One is the feedback we often get is it's not clear what the NHS's priorities are. And so it's, can we be more clear in the way we describe the demand for innovation? At what level does that need to happen? There's national priorities, there's regional priorities, local priorities. How do you describe that? How do you integrate that? How do we communicate it consistently across all the partners that we talked about? Evidence, this is a big and hot topic on digital. I suppose it's a big and hot topic always on everything. But you know, what kind of evidence are we looking for? Can we actually be clear what we consider evidence of efficacy? What kind of financial impact evidence are we looking for? If it's ROI, well, that's a completely different kind of modeling and data collection you would do to kind of 5-year cost effectiveness or 50-year cost effectiveness. Next thing is support. What kind of support do suppliers need? So that goes a little bit back to the strategic alignment. And then access, how are we kind of curating and signposting people to the different parts. So that's a bit of a whistle stop of what's happening at a national level. And, you know, we can talk more about it during the question time. But I wanted to spend the next 5 minutes and my last two slides talking about the way I'm keen for us to work in our unit, so NHS England, with people like you guys. So the first is I'm keen that we simplify and link things, obviously. It's strange for me being on the national policy side because I kind of come from a provider background. And the thing that strikes me is kind of the shower of things that we ask you guys to do. So how can we do our own job of sense making of it? You know, what's the big picture of what we're asking? How do the little bits actually link together? Are there some things that we cannot ask for because actually it's duplicative? So that's just kind of an internal housekeeping thing that we're doing. The second thing, which I think is pretty important, I'd be interested to know whether suppliers think this is a good or a bad thing. But kind of coming from a clinical background, I feel pretty strongly that innovation is not necessarily an end in of itself. It is its primary goal, I think, in the NHS is to enable better clinical outcomes, better patient experience. What's the demand for our innovation? So, you know, are we being entirely supplier driven, whereby our ITP just funds, you know, whoever has applied? Or are we thinking, actually, what's the demand in the system? What are the real problems that you're grappling with? Where do you want us to try to stimulate supply? But where can we do a bit of more matchmaking with demand and supply? So that's that bit. So try to figure out how can our different programs that we fund become a little bit more demand-driven. And then the last bit, which I wanted to mainly talk about, is thinking about how we work together. And because this is not like medicine, in my view, where it's not saying, oh, you know, for hypercholesterolemia, this is the drug that one needs to prescribe. It feels to me important that we focus as much on the how we work together as on the what we do. So yes, financial incentives will be important. Yes, reflecting innovation in the performance framework will be important. But that in of itself is not enough. the way we work together, I think, is equally, if not more, important. And now, sorry, it's going to be almost impossible for the guys at the back to read this, so I'll try to read it out for you, even though I can barely even see it. But I have it on my iPad, so that should make things a bit easier. So I was really influenced by Joe McKinnon, who's from the Billions Institute, came up, was hosted by the King's Fund and one of our other wonderful AHSN colleagues. And he has this great slide, which I have completely plagiarized, and it's up here, to say he works for CMS, looking at adoption of innovation, and they evaluated a large number, I think it's something like 50, of the innovations that they'd tried to adopt and spread over a number of years. And these are their reflections on how you need to work differently to enable this to happen, just as opposed to not just the what you're doing. So on the left-hand side is, you know, the typical mode of the way we work, which I think is in some ways, you know, rooted in this new public management school, and some ways rooted in kind of the empiricism of medicine. And then moving to kind of the right-hand side, which is how we need to work differently if this is actually going to work. So I'll just go through each one by one to say kind of what it would mean in practice. So on the left-hand side, the top one is the usual world of innovation, well, the usual way of kind of thinking about adoption is to say, well, there will be natural diffusion. You know, we're going to publish the paper, maybe get it into a guideline if we're lucky, and then, you know, wait for the system to do its wonderful work. And as we all know, that takes many years and is sometimes not that successful. So I think there's broad agreement across government, and particularly in NHS England, that our role is active dissemination. So, you know, are we funding the right programs? Are we helping get the infrastructure in place? Things like AHSNs, things like clinical entrepreneurs. So that won't be a surprise to you. The next one, which I think the typical approach is rigid design, focus on fidelity. So this is really the RCT mindset, right? We've got to, we know the intervention precisely, we know the conditions in which it works precisely, and we have to just deliver that precisely. I think we're moving away from that to much more of a kind of a complex systems approach. We need to have fidelity to the principles of what we're trying to do with a particular innovation, but it needs to be adapted to the local context. So this is much more kind of the, you know, MRC guidance on delivering or evaluating a complex intervention, much more than an RCT if you were to kind of think about it in types of evidence. The one on the left-hand side, and I think this specifically relates to the AHSNs, the next one down on the left is we tend to work in a world of general goals. We're going to increase adoption of innovation. Whereas what the Billions Institute says, which I really like, is actually you need explicit time-bound apportioned aims. So for example, the way we're working with AHSNs in the next couple of years is we've said, well, tell us some of the things that you think are fantastic innovations that you feel for which there is a good evidence base that would actually benefit populations outside your catchment area. The AHSNs did a fantastic job collectively, 15 of them, coming up with, actually, we think that these are the seven pathways, practices, where we think actually there's something that could be learned nationally. And so we've said, okay, let's take those seven. Let's figure out what we want to achieve. So, for example, you know, we would like 10% of women who go into preterm labor in the next 2 years to be offered magnesium sulfate because we know it prevents cerebral palsy. So that's the aim. So it's specific, it's time-bound, it's 2 years. I think the thing I'm keen to communicate about this is anything that comes from the center can feel like sort of the dead hand of performance management. And that's not the intention. The intention is let's set up the experiment properly, right? If you just asked, oh, could you increase adoption of innovation? Well, I mean, how are we ever going to know if we got there? How are we going to know what worked? How are we going to know in which context? So we're much keener to kind of set up these experiments. Okay, let's see nationally, can we do that for 10% of women in preterm labor?
Oh, interesting. It didn't work in this region. Why is that? No clinical champion. Is that because there's something wrong with the intervention? Is that a personality thing? Oh, interesting. It didn't work in this area because it feels like people feel that there is an alternative. Is that alternative as effective? So I think I'm really at pains to say we're keen to set explicit time-bound aims, but that's so we can learn. And then apply those specific learnings, these specific experiments to, okay, so then what does that mean about how we work together? What does NHS England need to change? And then what do we need to change, you know, in the way that the HSNs work? The next one down is one approach. And the one on, it's often, you know, going back to kind of the medical model. This is the lipid-lowering agent, and you take it in a tablet. Off you go. We don't live in that world with innovation. We know that. So we're quite keen to explore many methods. And the thing that I find so fascinating about the AHSNs is that they've grown up with a very different, each of them's got a very different character. So for example, some largely backfill posts within existing trusts. So it'd be really interesting to see, how do those folk adopt national innovations? Do they feel like they don't have enough ownership to do it? Is it more effective because they're kind of rooted in the providers? For some of these things, is it about working within a clinical network? For others, is it more of a social movement? For others, is it more about kind of evidence and guidance? So like, let's see the different methods. Can we see that they map to certain kinds of interventions? So we're very much in a kind of exploratory learning mindset with that, and very keen to see what works for whom, where. And the next thing is summative reports. So, you know, the typical world is summative reports. Oh, AHSNs, or oh, ITP, you did well because at the end of the year you delivered 20,000 innovations, or you got magnesium sulfate to 2% of trust versus 10%. I mean, we're commissioners, so of course there will be summative reports. but what we're asking for is, in addition to those, the right-hand side is kind of a live network view. And I'm really excited by some of the work that the AHSNs are doing, which are saying, we can tell you how many trusts are and how many women are getting magnesium sulfate. But what we're really interested in telling you is where we are on that adoption journey. You know, who knows about it? Who's aware? Who's willing but hasn't been able to put it into practice? Who put it into practice but can't sustain it? And actually, who's sustaining it? So having kind of that national view, and the HSNs are doing some very cool kind of maps, et cetera, so that we can see not only what's the outcome, but what's happening underneath it. Is there a step at which things are getting stuck? You know, everything's getting stuck at awareness, but we're not translating to willing. Why is that? Everything's getting stuck at willing. Why is that? So that's on the kind of information that we're keen to work with you on. The next one down is, you know, the typical world is central office broadcasts, and the world we're keen to work in is kind of all teach, all learn. I mean, I think I've labored this point enough. We don't really know the answer. We are here to learn with you. We're here to set up the experiment so that we can learn. And then the last point that the Billings Institute makes is the typical world is adherence to plan. You know, this is what we've planned. It's going to roll out exactly like this, and this is exactly what it's going to deliver. I mean, maybe my life is more shambolic than most, but virtually no plan I've ever made has entirely come to fruition as I expected. So I think we're really keen to see how we made a plan. Oh, for this intervention, it kind of didn't work. Why is that? Was there something wrong with our plan? Is it that you can really never plan these things out? Okay, let's stop with that plan. How would we pivot? Oh, let's try this plan. Oh, no, that's not working. Let's stop with this plan. Let's pivot. So, of course, we have to plan in advance, but we're very keen to work with the HSNs and others to think about, right, okay, didn't work. Let's pivot. So I suppose that's all I wanted to talk about today. Oh, I think I
don't worry, the last slide just says, let's discuss. so I just wanted to touch on, you know, who we are, what we're doing, how we hope to work with you, and get some feedback on, actually, no, we think the big five things you should be working on are X. Actually, no, we don't think this is the right how of how we're working together. And just have a bit of a conversation. It doesn't need to be formal Q&A. If we've got time. Thank you.